I grew up in rural Missouri, single mom, five kids, food insecure, but I didn't know we were food insecure. It was one of those kinds of things where mom did everything she could to hide the fact that we were struggling from us kids. And so I remember, you know, going to church on Sundays, and I remember, you know, mom getting a grocery bag, a brown grocery bag full of, you know, canned goods and things like that from the ladies at church. And I just remember her being, you know, overwhelmingly sad. And I remember being very confused as a child, like, you know, in the car watching mom crying about this food. And I was excited. I was like, yay, we're going to have some good meals this week. But, you know, there was a lot of shame there and guilt that I didn't understand, because I didn't really understand that we were food insecure and that we were struggling to make ends meet because mom, you know, she was working three jobs and trying to hide the fact from us. So for me, it's a very personal thing, because the families that we serve and the families that we help, you know, I see a lot of connection there to my own backstory. And I feel like this is a job that I do that helps other people understand that there are people in need that are also hiding it from the rest of the world. Not only do people who are food insecure hide it from their own kids and their family, they hide it from their neighbors, they hide it from their coworkers. You know, that's why we call it the hidden problem, you know, because nobody's running around saying, I'm hungry and, you know, I went to bed, you know, without dinner last night so that my kids could have something to eat. You know, it's there's a lot of shame, there's a lot of stigma, there's a lot of, yeah, there's a lot of emotion wrapped up into it. So it's a very rewarding job to be able to help those families.
So I think for me, one of the things that I've really learned working in this program, and it has really just kind of changed me as a person, is just realizing the depths of poverty that exist in Missouri. I really did not grasp the concept of how serious food insecurity actually is, and it also goes into health problems and housing, and, you know, it's always kind of a ripple effect, but I really didn't have a grasp on how severe that problem can be. And, I, you know, going out to some pantries and different agencies and hearing stories from clients and having clients get extremely emotional with me and telling me, you know, what their situation is, and also feeling as though they can confide that information in me. I think a lot of times people don't have anyone to talk to about it, and that's part of the stigma, and they don't want to talk about it to others. So, because they don't want people to judge them and you know, all those kind of misconceptions that people have. And so I think that that's extremely important, that sometimes it's just an ear, you know, just to be able to just kind of hear, listen to their stories, and then offer the program or what other programs that they might be eligible for based on what they're telling me.
Yeah, I think it would be helpful if people looked at food stamps and other, you know, programs like WIC and TANF, and looked at those programs as, you know, part of the safety net, as well as food banks and the food pantries. A huge thing for, you know, in communications, I'm constantly trying to shatter these misconceptions that people have. And one of the biggest ones is if I share a video or I share a story of a client, and they're not an ideal or typical size, the comments that people give, like, well, they don't look like they're hungry, or they look like they've had plenty to eat today. There's a disconnect with especially the obesity issue, that how can that person who, you know, doesn't look like an ideal, you know, body shape, how can they be hungry? And I don't think people are putting together the connection there, the coping strategies that a lot of food insecure families are doing. You know, there's a lot of, especially for moms, this is something we see a lot with moms of families that are food insecure. Mom will not eat, and she'll make sure that the kids have something to eat. So you go a week or two of having maybe one meal a day, and then when you get your food stamps at the beginning of the month, or you get your pantry box, your body is craving food so bad that you'll binge, and then you'll overeat, and then, you know, it's going to screw up your metabolism, as anyone who's ever tried to diet knows. That's not a good healthy strategy for maintaining a healthy weight. And then just the things that happen psychologically, you know, you're craving, you know, sugar, you're craving carbs, you're craving those things that are going to give you energy because you've been fasting and you have no energy. And just, you know, food choices, when you're the person in charge of the family finances and you're going to the grocery store and you see, you know, $3 for grapes,
right,
or $3 for a six pack of mac and cheese, you know, what are you going to spend your money on? So there are definitely, in my mind, very logical connections between food insecurity and obesity. But I think it's a hard thing for us to grasp with our eyes because we see someone right. And we're like, well, they're not hungry. Well,
yes, they are.
You know, they, mm-hmm. maybe hunger is the word that, you know, needs to change. Maybe we need to just go full in with the food insecurity title, and so that we understand, you know, that it's about nourishment. It's about the nutrition
exactly.
that's lacking in these people, you know, these people's systems, you know, that's contributing to, you know, higher health risks and things like that.